All right, we go right into Christmas Eve pretty strong, all right, don't we? Hey, welcome to RCC, and we're so grateful that you want to celebrate the birth of Jesus with us. And I want to tell you a story about a lady who was teaching a Sunday school class, and she was telling kids about, you know, Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, you know, born in a stable, laid in a manger. And she tells the whole story of the class, and she really wants the importance, you know, of Jesus, and but also of his parents. And so she asked a question to the class. She says, so who's the most important woman in the whole Bible? Who's the most important woman in the whole Bible? And one little kid named Jimmy raised his hand. She says, Jimmy, who is it? And he said, Eve. And she's like, I thought you would have said Mary. Why did you choose Eve? She says, he said, well, because she gets two holidays. She gets Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So Christmas Eve is important because it anticipates the coming of the light of the world. See, the only thing about Christmas Eve that we need to remember is this, and that is there's always a little darkness with Christmas Eve. See, the hope of Christmas, especially for those of us who are dealing with the reality that right now the world is upside down, right? And so we need to be aware of this, and that is it's important to know Christmas has a dark side. It really does. Is there really such a thing as a perfect Christmas? Let's be honest. And, you know, I want to go ahead and give you some truth right now. Listen, here's some truth, especially for many of you who need to hear this, you perfectionists out there. Don't put on your family tomorrow the expectation that everything has to be perfect. Newsflash, it never is. It never is, right? How many of you guys had a white Christmas? Raise your hand if you ever had a white Christmas before. All right, I had a white Christmas one time. And my family ruined it because other family could not be there. And so they were so anxious about the other family members being there, just kind of put a downer. I finally had a white Christmas and it still wasn't perfect. Isn't it true that some of our favorite Christmas movies like Christmas Vacation or The Christmas Story are all about epic Christmas fails? And we all have our stories about times when Christmas went bad. Many people sometimes ask me, why don't you have like animals involved in the Christmas Eve service? Well, let me give you an example. I want you to show you right now example A and why I don't include animals in this service. Check out this video. You're like, is it still there? You wonder, you know, does that candle ever get stuck from those pews? So that's got to be like up there, like the ultimate Christmas candle fails of all time, right? I mean, so here's the reality. Troubles and sorrows don't take a holiday, do they? And isn't it true that Christmas is like the great magnifier of every emotion? It just kind of intensifies it. Just go shopping right now. Some of you went crazy, went to the town center yesterday. You really saw some emotion yesterday. So for some of you, this is your first Christmas as a married couple, and you're having a great time. Maybe your first Christmas after the child was born, or being a grandparent. Maybe your spouse was on deployment, and now they're finally home safe this Christmas. We celebrate with you. But for others of us, it's the first Christmas since the divorce, the first Christmas since the funeral, the first Christmas since the bad report from the doctor, okay? Did you know that the very first Christmas had a very dark side? In this series, we talked about the wise men. In fact, if you've missed any of the series Upside Down Christmas, you can go back and listen to it at riverchristian.church/messages. But I want to pick up where we left off last week. Starting in chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 13, it says, when they had gone, angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to do what? To kill him. So he got up, Joseph did, took the child and his mother, Mary, during the night and left for Egypt. So Jesus coming from heaven did not stop hell on earth. And then it gets worse. Look what happens next, verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and his vicinity, who were 2 years and old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, remember that name, that location, that city, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So we've been reading through the very first two chapters of Matthew in this series, looking at the basically this couple of things. And I knew this text was coming, and I thought to myself, I'm not going to do this text on Christmas Eve because it's just too dark. But it's like God told me, someone needs to hear this Christmas. Somebody needs to get some encouragement this Christmas. Because sometimes Christmas doesn't always go right. And someone needs to hear that. And someone needs to be actually encouraged by that. Someone I was talking to recently was having health issues and relational issues, car issues, all at one time during this Christmas. And I just said to him, you know, it's just proof and evidence that the world's a fallen place. And the way they looked at me told me really clearly that they did not want any sound theology in that moment, okay? But I hope you do. I want to tell you two quick things, and I promise they'll help you this Christmas. The first one is this. It could be worse. It could be worse. Say that with me on the count of three. One, two, three. It could be worse. It's like the story of these 80-year-old guys are at a local coffee shop, and they're hanging out, and they're talking about just getting older. The first one says, you know, my arm is so weak, I can barely hold up my coffee now. The second guy says, my cataracts are so bad, I can barely see my coffee. The third guy said, my hands are so shaky and crippled, I can't even sign my name. The fourth guy said, what? Speak up. You know, he couldn't hear, all right? Fifth guy said, my arthritis is so bad, I can barely turn my neck side to side. The sixth guy said, I can barely stand up. My blood pressure medication makes me so dizzy. The seventh guy says, well, I guess it's the price of getting older. And the eighth guy said, yeah, we should all count our blessings. At least we can all still drive. I was behind a couple of those guys this Christmas. I don't know about you, but... but some of you are in Egypt this Christmas. And some things happen this year that are out of your control that put you in a place that you didn't anticipate and you definitely don't appreciate being in right now this Christmas. Because here's the reality. Egypt is a bummer. But sometimes it's still better than Bethlehem. See, Mary and Joseph, there's some wisdom here, even some peace that can be gained by realizing it could be worse. Say that with me again. It could be worse on the count of three. One, two, three. It could be worse. It could be worse. In a moment, you're going to get in your car, and yeah, you're going to see nicer cars and newer cars when you're on the road. And you know what? But the car you have gets you where you need to go, so you're not going to get envious. What you're going to do is you're going to say it with me with great enthusiasm, what? It could be worse. It could be worse. Imagine all the other people in the world that wish they had a car, can only imagine having a car, but they don't have a car, especially when they get some point A, point B. They can't imagine, you know, if their kid gets sick, that they could just get in a car and drive 10 minutes and be in a hospital. But most of you have that. It could be worse. And then you're going to head home today at some point, and then you're going to go to your house. And yes, you're going to pass by newer homes and nicer homes. But you know what? You're going to look at your home. You're not going to be envious. You're going to say with great enthusiasm, what? It could be worse. It could be worse. Because when you go in your home, you're going to flip on a switch. A light comes on. You turn a knob. Water comes out. Even you can adjust the temperature of the water. Millions of billions of people in the world would love to have light and love to have water and even adjust the temperature in their home. And then you're going to think about your mate. Yes, he's lost some hair, right? And then she might have gained a few pounds. But when you wake up on Christmas morning, you're going to roll over in bed, and you're going to look at them, and you're going to say, you're not going to say that. Are you crazy? No. You're going to think it, but you're not going to say it. So isn't it interesting that the place that was once where the Jews were enslaved is now the place that is protecting the king of the Jews? Isn't it true that we can look back on our lives and realize that sometimes those places that we didn't want to be in were in fact the place where we needed to be in that moment? Is it possible that next Christmas you're going to look back at this Christmas and say, you know, maybe it was a good thing I was in Egypt? You can say that about Egypt, but you can never say that about Ramah. See, there's moments in life where it could not get worse, and they make us wonder, why God? Why couldn't you just give Herod a heart attack, right? I mean, why, God, why can't you just end divorce and end pain and end wars and end abuse and just end cancer? See, Christmas doesn't really explain the existence of evil. See, what Christmas does is it sheds some light on the future of evil. Here's the second thing I want to teach you before we close, and here it is. Christmas teaches us this: it will be better. Say that with me on the count of three. One, two, three. It will be better. And so when Matthew quotes Jeremiah, he wasn't looking at the past, he was looking at the future. When he says that Rachel was weeping for her children, you have to understand that Rachel is a matriarch of the Jewish people, and she was buried in the area where Bethlehem, right there close to Bethlehem, is a city called Ramah. And back when the Jews were taken to captivity, Ramah was a staging area of the deportation. So if you can imagine, Rachel's a metaphor for all the mamas who are watching their babies, watching their children taken to captivity, knowing that they would never see them again, weeping. But here's the thing about Matthew. Matthew knows that the Babylons and he knows that the Herods of the world do not get the last word. Because I want you to look with me at the next verse out of Jeremiah from that same section of scripture that Matthew quotes from. Look what he says. He talks about the future. Look what it says. But now this is what the Lord says. Do not weep any longer, for I will reward you, says the Lord. Your children will come back to you from the distant land of the enemy. Say this with me, church, all right? Say it with me with great enthusiasm. Here we go. One, two, three. There is hope for your future. Say it again. There is hope for your future. Here's the problem with asking God to get rid of evil. If God were to get rid of all evil, none of us would be left. Because there's darkness in me, there's darkness in all of us. So as Christmas in Bethlehem, what he did, he set in motion a different way of dealing with evil and darkness. Jesus was born, and don't misunderstand, just because he missed death as a baby did not mean that he came to miss death. Jesus was born to die. He was born to die for my sins and your sins. And we reflect on that, we remember that every single week here at RCC, we take communion. So if you did not receive communion, raise your hand. I promise you somebody will find you. Raise your hand high and just keep them up. Somebody's looking for you right now. They'll come and bring communion emblems to you right now. Just keep your hand up. We reflect on the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus and the death and burial and resurrection. See, Jesus would become a man, and he would become a man who would face every temptation like you and I do. He would bear every indignity, and he would refuse every opportunity to give into darkness. He was the perfect son. And one day he would go to the cross for us, and he would be delivered into darkness because something had to die for my sin, for your sin. And that something was a someone, and his name is Jesus. And Christmas reminds us that there's hope for our future because the one who came, the one who died, the one who was buried, the one who rose up out of the grave, the one who ascended to heaven, guess what? That one is coming back again, amen? And so we know it will be better, and we celebrate that by taking this bread and drinking this cup in honor of the one who gave his life for us. So let me pray over you right now. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, we are so grateful that you sent Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, to walk among us, to know everything we experience, but not only that, God, that all the iniquity and all of our sin from all time would rest upon his body. And he would be crucified for our sins so that we could have life with you. Could have all of our sins separated from us as far as the east is from the west. Could have our sins thrown into the bottom of the ocean, never to be resurrected. Lord, thank you for separating our sins for us through the death of Jesus. So Lord, we reflect on that as we take this bread and we drink this cup. On the life that was given so that we could have life, eternal life, with you and with one another. We pray this all in the name of your son, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Please take communion now. The curse will be reversed, and weeping one day will be turned into dancing, and the world will one day be right side up. Because while there's no perfect Christmas, and we've definitely established that today, the birth of Jesus sheds light on this truth. Perfect is on the way. It really is. Paul was mentoring a young man by the name of Timothy, and he wrote these words to Timothy that I want to share with you right now. He says this, "He, God, has made all this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus on that Christmas day, our Savior. He broke the power of death," and look at this, church, say it with me. He did what? He illuminated the way to life. Think about that. Jesus illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. A few years ago, I heard a story about a young mom whose husband's on deployment. And so it was Christmas season. She decided to leave her town and go spend that time with her kids, her young kids. They went off and spent a few weeks with her mom and dad. And so while they're there, they're baking all the food, you know, and they're wrapping all the gifts, and they're watching all the Christmas movies. Everything is great. Kids are excited. One thing is missing, and that is her husband. He's on deployment. He's serving our country. One week before Christmas, they got a visit that told them that her husband would not be coming home that Christmas. In fact, he would never come home for any Christmas. He died serving our country. And she immediately went into her bedroom and obviously grieved with the shock of all that. Her parents didn't know what to do, and so they packed up all the decorations, and they even took down the Christmas tree and they put it out in the backyard. And eventually she comes out of the bedroom and she looks around and she says, "Where's the tree?" And her mom and dad said, "We didn't really know what to do, and so we just didn't think it was appropriate. We packed up all the Christmas decorations and just didn't think it was appropriate right now." And the daughter looked at her mom and dad and said, "Mom, Dad, Christmas was made for times like this. We need Christmas now more than ever. Maybe things are going great for you. Maybe this is just a sweet season of life, this Christmas. And I want you to know, we rejoice with you. That, praise God for that. Enjoy that. But maybe you're in Egypt right now. Maybe this Christmas you're in Ramah. Remember, it will be better. Perfect is on the way. So my word for you is simply this, and that is, live the light of Christmas. Live the light of Christmas, because the evil one wants you to think it's never going to get better, but I want to tell you right now, light always overcomes darkness. Amen? Light always overcomes darkness. It's going to get better. We bow at Christmas before the King who has a final word. Because we know the history, we know where history's heading. Right side up is coming. Death and pain and loneliness and sadness and suffering will be no more. And the only reminder that darkness ever existed will be the scars on the arms of the one ready to embrace you. So if you're struggling this Christmas, know, no matter what you're facing, live the light of Christmas and know perfect is on the way. Will you stand with me right now? Let me pray over you. Please stand. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll speak to everyone's heart here today. Lord, many are here, and Lord, it's just such a sweet season of life. And Lord, may they not feel bad about that. May they just be right now in a season of rejoicing. So Lord, we thank you so much for that people here are celebrating your goodness. And Lord, may they not feel bad about that. But others of us, God, we're struggling. It seems like, if anything, Christmas only intensifies the pain. So would your Holy Spirit bring comfort to all, because we believe the truth in Jesus, that he actually sealed the fate of darkness and that light is on the way. So while we deal with the storms, we will keep our eyes on Jesus. Thank you for coming, Jesus. Please come back soon. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And the whole church said, amen. Right now, we're going to start spreading this light all around the room. And if you'll pass it on to the person next to you, just as Jesus came that Christmas day, it's a reminder that light came in the world, and that light has continued to multiply and multiply and multiply. Just like right now, the light is going to overcome the darkness. That's what happened when Jesus showed up. And some of you need that peace and need that hope. and you need that joy of Christmas. So we're going to sing right now, Silent Night, together. And I hope this time can be a sacred time, knowing that God is with you. Let's sing Silent Night together.